Live Internet Talk Radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good afternoon. Are you ready for Double Time with Double D? Go behind the scenes of the NFL and the game with Dave Duerson. We want to hear your words, too. Don't be afraid to speak up. Now, here's your host, Dave Duerson, Double D.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Double Time with Double D. I'm your host, Dave Duerson. It is a beautiful day down here in sunny South Florida on October the 21st, 2010. And we've got a number of things to discuss today. I'm excited about today's show because we've got controversy. Of course, every week in the NFL these days, we've got controversy. But the latest one, the owners brought on and put up on themselves. And there has been a myriad of storms that have come about here over the last couple of days in regards to devastating hits. Now, we understand the chief hit. The helmet-to-helmet that the league has already set up rules about and will fine players about. But now they're talking about devastating hits and suspensions, such that we've got players threatening retirement, immediate retirement. We've got all sorts of pushback coming from players on both sides of the ball, offensive and defensive. And we're going to get into all that discussion today because we have to. And also because being a former safety in the National Football League for over 11 years and what have you, the one position that has impacted the most, or the series of positions that are impacted the most, would be those of the defensive backs, the two corners, the strong and the free safety, in regards to what this rule is meant to bring about change with. And I say that because we're taught from the days of Pop Warner football that when you're making an impact, that you come in at full speed, you tense the body, you do not relax at all. The reason the body is tense is because it can absorb the shock better. Also, because structurally, that means that your soft tissue, your muscles are tense, and it acts as a shock absorber as well as a defense mechanism in straightening up your spinal cord and ensuring that it too is protected at the point of impact. Now imagine then you relax the body and you're not nearly as tense at the point of impact. That's when the body is susceptible to major injury. What we call in the football world, the freak injury. Now it's only the quote unquote freak injury or that injury that is totally unavoidable that no one can get around that will end a player's career. The Darryl Stingley hit, for instance, Jack Tatum delivering the blow. You know, Jack was not trying to be overly aggressive with Darryl. It was a play that Jack has made many times over the course of his career, but in that particular instance, the perfect storm came about. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about later on today when I have a couple of my teammates from the Chicago Bears who are going to be joining me. Sean Gale will be joining us around 3:15 Eastern Time, along with Lemuel Stinson. Sean Gale, you may recall, played 12 years in the National Football League, 11 in Chicago. And after I, in fact, was released by the Bears and went to the Giants, Sean then became the starting strong safety replacing me, and a couple of years later made his way to the Pro Bowl. Lemuel Stinson played 5 years all with the Bears, recorded some 16 interceptions, but is now defensive coordinator for the Texas College Steers. And so he's going to bring a coach's perspective as well as a player perspective. And then, of course, Ray Ellis, our director of sports, will be joining us, and we may have a couple of other callers to call in as well. So we want to get your thoughts. So the phone lines are open at 888-346-9144. 888-346-9144. First thing I want to do, though, is I've spent some time over the last couple of days on my Facebook page expressing myself, but more importantly, wanting to get the expressions from you, the fans. And a couple of days ago, I set this one up that said, well, in fact, this was last night, NFL's greatest hits. Things have changed over the last 24 hours. The big hit has been told to turn in his pads and jockstrap. Well, my defensive back colleagues, Ray Ellis, Sean Gale, and Lemuel Stinson will join me again today on Voice America Sports. Join in and give me your thoughts. And so Stephen Robinson says, wow, Dave, I agree. This is crazy. And Jason says they may as well. This is Jason Reagan. He says they might as well have the players continue wearing pink after this month. This is ridiculous. I'm all for being safe, but neutering the football player is not the answer. Society is getting way too soft. Then another guy, AJ Gupta, who's responded to us from the D.C. area, says that the NFL suspending players for big hits does simply sound funny. But it wouldn't be funny if one of these big hits kills a small wide receiver. And so we certainly thank both Jason and AJ for their thoughts. And in fact, Jason kicked back a second one and said, are they going to begin flagging running backs for lowering their shoulders to run over defenders? What kind of candy asses do they have running the league? And the comments go on and on. Marvin Dent says, make better pass to absorb the impact. People come miles around to see a superior athlete lay it all down. This is the defining difference that sends one guy to the pros and eventually to the hall and sends the other guy home. We don't want to see mediocrity. It doesn't rest in the hall. Of course, you know, this is abbreviated. The big hits are the NFL's history and future. And then another one of our listeners says, I knew it. It was that was the buzz about punishing him. And that we're talking here about James Harrison, Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker, who was threatening retirement. Says, that is why I mentioned it. Harrison of the Steelers got fined $75,000 and is threatening to quit. Paterno has suggested that the face mask be removed to prevent the hard hits. Is he nuts? He has a supporter, Mike Ditka. What was that? I think someone just blew a gasket. I think that's pretty awesome and pretty funny, too, that Joe Paterno would weigh in and say, hey, you know, and it makes perfect sense. I mean, if you're not going to be allowed to use the head anymore, and if you truly want to take it away from being used as a weapon or spearing and all that kind of stuff, why not remove the face mask? Because at least at that point, you leveled the playing field again. And I say that because I was watching a special on Adrian Peterson yesterday on NFL Network. And we know that Adrian is a very fast and elusive running back, but he is also a power back. And at the point of impact, when he's going to run over a defender, be it a linebacker or a defensive back, he lowers his head. And his head, the helmet, becomes a weapon. So here's my question. If, in fact, you're going to suspend and fine defenders for devastating hits and using the helmet, then shouldn't you do the same thing for running backs who are running the rock and lowering their head? Again, that's how we're coached. Not only are we coached that way, it protects the body. So with all of this change, the question is, if you're going to suspend defenders, then shouldn't you do the same thing to the wide receiver, to the running backs? And then the last thing I want to put out there to all you guys, too, and this was something that I said on my Facebook page the other day, in regards to wide receivers, that if wide receivers are going to be able to continue to jump up in the air and make all these acrobatic catches and we can't hit them, and they're talking crazy in the media and all this other kind of stuff, at some point, again, you've got to level the playing field. And so if the owners are telling the defensive backs that we cannot hit anybody, then to the wide receivers I'm saying, you got to shut the F up, okay? And, you know, just shut it up. Be quiet about it. We don't want to hear it for obvious reasons. And that reason being that the game is protecting you. So shut the bleep up and just play ball. It's just that simple. On that note, we're going to take a break. I'm going to go pay some bills. When I come back, we should have some callers online. But we also want to invite you guys to join us, 888-346-9144. I told you, we're pissed off today. I'm pissed. Devastating hits. That's what we're talking about. We'll be right back after these messages.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Do you love sports talk?
Can't get enough sports talk?
Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Each week, take a visit inside the locker room of your favorite sport with Dez Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis as they bring you sportsmanlike conduct. As a current player, Dez Clark can bring you inside the sports world like nobody can. His co-hosts represent the fans of the sports world. With both points of view on the table, it becomes an engaging and entertaining program, to say the least. Sportsmanlike Conduct can be heard Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Entrepreneurial Insights is your weekly excursion into the world of business ownership. Presented by Sunbelt Business Brokers, the leading business brokerage and intermediary firm in the world, Entrepreneurial Insights will examine critical issues that impact both existing and prospective business owners. If you own or want to own a small business, listen for Entrepreneurial Insights with John Davies, Pino Bocchinello, and Matt Ottaway. Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to Double Time with Double D featuring host Dave Duerson. Get in on the action. Call us now at 1-888-346-9144. For Double D, that's 888-346-9144. Or drop an email to DoubleDFans@ddfavor.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Double Time with Double D. I'm your host, Dave Duerson, and we are just getting deep into our discussion in regards to NFL greatest hits, and you've already heard where I'm coming from. I've already expressed to you that as far as I'm concerned, wide receivers like T.O. and Ocho need to keep it quiet, because if I was playing today, I would certainly have taken my shot silencing. But along those same lines, I'm bringing some safeties on, some guys that love the big hit as well, and who did it well, who did it so well that they were honored by their colleagues. So joining me right now on the phone is Sean Gale from the
Dave
Chicago
Dorson,
Bears.
Dave Dorson, how are you?
It's awesome to have you on, Sean. I'm just telling everybody that you played 12 years in the league, 11 of those in Chicago, and one with the Chargers, and in fact was an all-pro safety during the 91 season. And also joining us are, of course, Ray Ellis, our director of sports. Sean, Ray playing from with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns. Both, of course, you and Ray hail from the Ohio State University, so I'm sure you guys are part of the same brotherhood and know each other well. And then likewise, Mike Stone, also a safety from the National Football League, who had played both with the Cardinals, Giants, and Patriots, all joining me on the phone. So we've got a round robin here going on right now. Gentlemen, welcome to Double Time with Double D. It's a pleasure to have you all with me.
How's it going, Dave? How's it going?
It's going
likewise,
great.
Likewise.
Hey, good to hear you guys.
Thank you. Hey, Sean, coming at you first, man. You know, this new rule that the commissioner and the owners have come up with over the course of this last week, that the devastating hit. Now, I understand full blow, that they don't want us using the helmet as a weapon. No more spearing and all that type of stuff. But this thing about devastating hits, I just want your perspective because, you know, I know where I stand on this. I think I pretty much let everybody else know where I stand. But, you know, obviously as defenders, we all have a different view on this thing. And I just want to know, where does SG stand in relation to this issue of devastating hits?
Well, you know, Dave, I got to tell you, to me it's obvious that the league is taking a reactionary course of action here. It's almost like they tend to forget that the true nature of football, particularly at this level, is the physicality of it. You can't avoid that. I mean, if they expect these guys, after honing their skills as hitters and tacklers and all these things that we've been taught since our first day in Little League, and reduce it to using harsh language to bring these guys down, it's not going to work.
Right.
I mean, we talk about baseball being the pastime of America, but the truth of the matter is, it's the spirit of the gladiator sport. It is where, you know, and I hate to put it this way, but on such a primal level as to what we want to see and how we look at it, competition.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL, you know, they're known for making changes after the fact. Now, yeah, guys are getting bigger, stronger, faster, all these good things, and bad things will happen. But, you know, to penalize these guys at this stage of the game and to think that they can change their ways after all of this time to get to this level, that's a far cry from being realistic.
I absolutely. I think wholeheartedly. And you know, furthermore, you know, when we were just coming into the league in 80, myself in 83, you in 84, and Ray, you came in a couple years ahead of us. The NFL had just instituted the rule that defensive backs could not touch receivers after 5 yards down the field. All of these things, be it the devastating hits or you know the issues of spearing and even using our hands to slow down receivers, you know, the rule that was put in the early 80s, you know, that we can't touch these guys up to 5 yards, that means that these receivers are running full speed. And they're now able to go across the middle. They can jump up in the air. They can do all these acrobatic things. And you're telling the defensive back not to play at full speed. Now, isn't that a formula for greater injury, in particular to the defender himself?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you're right. The defender, and first of all, I just got to say, you know, I find myself in a position where I got a grin on my face that obviously the world can't see because my man Sean Gale's on the phone. Sean, how you doing, man? I got to say that first. Well, Sean, I hope Sean didn't hang up or wasn't disconnected. But you know, yeah. Dave, that's one of my understudies right there, man. He just far exceeded, you know, what anybody probably thought he would do, only because Sean was one of the nicest people in the world you'd ever meet, but he would take your head off.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure you've seen that a few times. But let me go into answering that question. It's always been the defense, for some reason or another, has always been at the disadvantage of being in a position to use all the abilities and everything that would be to their advantage against the offense. And the reason why, you know, things have been against the defensive players is because the offensive side of the game has always been the part of the game that has brought the excitement. You know, people always want to see big plays. They want to see great catches, the acrobatic catches. They want to see somebody who has lightning speed, like they used to say back in the day with, you know, when Bob Hayes first came out, you know, breaking, you know, the 9.9 and 100 meters, you know, world-class speed. They wanted to be able to see that world-class speed. And if you're beating them up like Mel Blount was on the line of scrimmage and never letting them off the ball, it was taking away a part of the excitement of the game. So it has been, you know, very bad. Nothing has really happened. It's been advantageous for the defensive players because it's an offensive-minded, you know, game. You know, they want it to be a game of excitement, of touchdowns, of high-scoring games. And so there's going to be nothing that is going to be advantageous to the defender, to the defenders in this game of football today.
Yeah, but Mike Stone, I want to bring you in. You know, with the way that they've changed this game, and as Ray was just talking about, you know, of course, you know, back in the day they had the Bob Hayes. Today you've got T.O. and Ocho Larry Fitzgerald and all these guys, and you know they're big, they're strong, you know, but they're able to run down the field, and now we can't give them a devastating hit, which is, or a big blow, a big shot, which is what the National Football League was built on. So are we looking at like EA Sports? I mean, you know, in this they have this stuff during the off season, don't they? And where the guys are allowed to do 7-on-7 and all that kind of stuff? I mean,
it takes a lot out of the game. I think it takes a whole lot out of the game, especially looking at the safety position, which I played. You know, absolutely. We get there at the same time as the ball gets there 90% of the time. Now, the way you become get to the Hall of Fame is by knocking half of those balls out, either by hitting or by being at the point of contact and drawing it out after with the hit. So I think that one thing it does, it takes your ability as a safety to play your position. You're not going to be there before the ball. You're going to be there when the ball gets here, and it's your job.
Yes.
And people will lose jobs if balls aren't being discharged next year in the NFL.
Right.
So I think it's a disjustice. It does a huge disjustice to defensive back, because that's your mentality when you play the game, making a hit, knocking the ball out.
Yeah, Sean, I was immediately reminded of our big brother, and of course another one of those Ohio State Buckeyes. But Todd Bell, we were playing the Washington Redskins, our first playoff game back in '84. And, Ray, I'm sure you remember this hit, because this is on every NFL greatest hits reel, man. Todd hit the little Washington Redskin running back, Joe, I can't remember his last name.
Joe Washington,
and helicoptered this brother, man. Helicoptered him. Now, it was a wonderful hit. It was clean. But, you know, based upon what the commissioner is talking about today, you know, they would have suspended Todd on the spot. So SG, this is where we stand. And I'm just wondering, you know, with all of the screams that are coming out, Brian Urlacher has talked about this as flag football, you know, and we might as well wear pink dresses and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mentioned, you know, that we're being told to, you know, to turn in our jock straps and take off our pads. This overreaction that you mentioned earlier, SG, is there a likelihood, is there any likelihood that the owners will rethink what they've come up with so quickly and reestablish this thing and let some common sense take over, as opposed to, you know, this harsh threat of quote-unquote suspensions for any type of hit? Because as Mike points out, you know, we're trained to be at the point of impact when the ball gets there 90% of the time, we're going to explode into a guy, because that's the way this game was built. I think we may have lost Sean. Ray, would you want to comment on that, or Mike?
Yeah, well, you know, Dave, it's, you know, when you talk about the way we were trained, and I think that's an important point to make, is this is about a training process, because we are taught how to tackle from the time we are kids. And,
yes.
and that's all the results of many of years of practicing and perfecting that, is what they're seeing on Sundays. And so what you've got to do is you've got to go back. And, you know, I really have mixed emotions about this. I really do, Dave, you know. And I'm one of those guys that it was all about Jack Tatum, you know. It was about hitting like nobody other than Jack Tatum, you know. And we are all from that same generation. And I'm going to say this, Dave, it's your fault. It's your fault. You are part of the problem, you know. And it's because I say that, because people see things and they try to emulate. There are people out there now that are trying to hit like they used to see Dave Dorson hit. There are people who are trying to hit like they saw Sean Gale hit. There are people trying to hit like they saw Mike Stone, Todd Bell, Jack Tatum, Ronnie Lott, Kenny Easley. That's what they're trying to emulate today. And the fact of the matter is, the game has evolved, and whereas equipment was to get better to protect, the equipment also became a shield, protection for us. And that when we had that equipment on, many times when we hit, we didn't hurt ourselves.
That's
because
correct.
The equipment, you know, and it allowed it, the equipment absorbed the punishment of our bodies. And I remember looking at some of my pictures with my neck rolling and everything on my elbow pads. You know, man, I was strapped up. And I felt like I could hit and take anything out. And one thing that I've heard Ronnie say before, and I tried to do this, I always tried to master this. And it's the fact of the matter, man. Listen, you want to hit a person when they are unprotected. You don't want that person, when once that running back, as you mentioned, lowers his head and his shoulders, now he's protected, and you can't get the kind of hit on him that could dislodge the ball. So now you're going to make a tackle. But it's when they're vulnerable that you take that hit. And if you don't take that hit, then we think you're wearing some skirts at night. You know, but when you got that hit,
dodgeball.
You're supposed to take that hit. But let's go back again to the game before we had the kind of equipment that we have now, when they didn't have the face mask, when they didn't have, you know, the type of pads that we have now. The game wasn't as violent. It was violent, but it wasn't as violent. There were no head-to-head hits. They didn't make contact with their head, but it was still, you know, a violent hit. Somebody could still be taken out. They were clothesline people back then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was a tackle we came up doing on the streets and, you know, on the playgrounds. But it can still be an aggressive game without the head-to-head contacts. And I'm one of those people, my career ended with a neck injury. You know, I laid on the field paralyzed, not able to move. You know, and I have a 17-year-old son right now. And I challenged Shine Salisbury when he was in the studio this morning, and we were having conversation. I said, Shine, let me ask you something. When your son was playing football and you said no stands, were you scared? And he said he was scared to death. And see, that's what I fear. I fear visiting those hospitals and looking at those people that have played football and the consequences that some young men has been paralyzed.
Yeah.
You know, I fear that. I fear my son who's got a game Friday night, and God, Jesus, I hope I never want to bring anything bad on my son or anybody else. But that's what I fear. I saw Adam Taraferro, who got paralyzed at Ohio State. I went to the hospital to visit him when they flew him in into the hospital in Philadelphia. So, you know, and God bless Adam is walking today. Those are the things that I fear. I like the vicious hits, but I just pray, and God, they could be hurt, but I don't want them to be injured. So I really struggle with this thing, Dave. I've always wanted to be like Jack Tatum. My whole life I try, but I'm really on the fence on this one. So that's my comment.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm there too, Ray. And to our listening audience, again, we're talking about devastating hits today on Double Time with Double D. And joining us on the line are Sean Gale, who we've got Sean back from the Bears. He was a safety with the Bears, played 12 years, and was all pro. And also, Sean is known for having an NFL record for the shortest punt return for a touchdown in NFL history. And I don't think SG... that your record will ever be broken because it was only 5 yards.
Well, Dave, that's one thing I feel pretty confident about, that's going to stand for a while.
Yeah, that's going to be there for a long time.
Right, but, you know, this conversation, I got to tell you, as a defensive player, I know for a fact, you guys can attest to this, that there are cringes going on throughout the league, not by the defenders, but by the defensive coordinators.
Yeah.
Because we rely on the big hit to make things happen defensively, and you have to understand that the NFL caters towards entertainment. They want high scoring, as you guys mentioned. They make the rules, they change the rules yearly to help facilitate that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they really want to get down to making changes and fining players and suspension, you know what? Let's talk about those passes that are being thrown. Now, when we all played, what do you call some of those passes? We call them hospital balls, because you don't throw them across the middle like that. You don't put your offensive player, whether running back or receiver, in harm's way by trying to squeeze the ball in there where guys are closing in. They're taught to come full speed with a pretty bad attitude to make something happen.
Yeah.
And again, you know, this is the evolution of the athlete. They're bigger and they're stronger, so things are going to be more violent. And for the league to try to almost like regulate this, it's you know, it's just going to take away from the game to the point where it's not going to be football the way most of us learned it.
Right.
Exactly. I think the one thing
that they can do would be to allow defenders to get in front of the receivers for 10 yards as opposed to only being able to touch them at the line of scrimmage. That slows down the receivers. That slows down all these so-called throwing lanes, which right now are just completely wide open, and you know, the game is now being played 53 yards from sideline to sideline. And I think if we can if the owners would allow the defenders to, again, get back in the face of receivers just a little bit, it would slow the speed down, and it would and right there alone, you are able to control some of the impacts. Take, for instance, what happened to DeSean Jackson on Sunday against the Falcons. Mike, you just mentioned it. You know, 90% of the time, we're going to be right there at the point of impact because that's what we're trained to do. And it was a beautiful, legit hit, but it sent DeSean Jackson to the sidelines and to the locker room.
Exactly. I think at the end of the day, players are going to get faster and stronger. I think the NFL is taking the wrong approach, looking at it as how can we slow the athlete down. I think they should look at it in a level of how do we make the equipment better? What do we change the equipment to make sure the protection is better? Because at the end of the day, you know, the fans watch the game and watch the athletes be athletes.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you know, to be honest, I wouldn't mind they took the face mask off. For one, that's gonna make the NFL athlete more marketable. And then for two, that's gonna make you be a lot more conscious of how you're, you know, making your contact. So, to be honest, it may be against the crowd, but I say take face mask off totally.
Take the face mask off. Okay. Well, you're in the camp along with Joe Paterno and Mike Ditka.
Oh yeah.
And flat noses and, you know, big busted lips and all that kind of stuff. But I hear what you're saying. And I'm loving this conversation, and I wanted to continue. Can you guys stay with me? We need to go pay some bills real quick.
Sure.
I'm here.
Okay, I appreciate it. To our fans, again, you're listening to Double Time with Double D, and we're talking NFL greatest hits. And you got a bunch of defensive backs who've done it right and done it for a long time, pissed off. But we also want to hear from you. So, again, 888-346-9144. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Get ready to talk sports with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on, it will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone, where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to Double Time with Double D, featuring host Dave Duerson. Get in on the action. Call us now at 1-888-346-9144. For Double D, that's 888-346-9144. Or drop an email to DoubleDFans@ddfavor.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Double Time with Double D. I'm your host, Dave Duerson, and we're having a great conversation today about devastating hits. NFL greatest hits. And joining me on the line, of course, is our sports director, great Philadelphia Eagle and Cleveland Brown, safety Ray Ellis. Also, Sean Gale, a 12-year NFL veteran, 11 years with me in Chicago with the Bears, and one with the San Diego Chargers, and was All-Pro in 91. And Mike Stone, also a veteran of the National Football League, safety with the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Patriots. And guys, just getting right into it. You know, I'm so fired up, man. I'm sitting here. I just fired up my Rocky Patel, the Edge, and I'm pulling on it long and hard too, because I'm sitting here thinking about all these hits over the years that I was able to put on receivers, that I was able to witness my teammates and others around the league put on, as we were talking about Todd Bell giving Joe Washington that helicopter hit. But for each of us, you know, there had to have been some guys that we mimicked and wanted to play like that made us the players that we are. For me, I can tell you guys, every single Friday night when I was in college, I read Jack Tatum's book, They Call Me Assassin. And on every Saturday, Rod Bone and I, the two safeties, we would play for the hit of the day. And so, you know, so for me, it was, Tatum and George Ekins that made the difference, in terms of how I played. And I'm just wondering, Sean, for you, and certainly for you, Ray and Mike, who was that guy? You know, and growing up, who did you mimic your game after?
Well, you know what, Dave, and this is Sean. I got to tell you, I grew up in Virginia, and
yep.
In Virginia, we have a lot of athletes that really want to make their mark in football, starting off in high school, like everyone else. And in my area, it was Kenny Easley, who's from my area in Virginia.
Absolutely.
Along with guys like Lawrence Taylor. I mean, all these defenders, they understood how dominant they can become. And that influenced me. In fact, when I was in high school, my high school coach used to put on tapes of Dick Butkus. And we all know he didn't play it arm tackling or anything like that. It was an aggressive game, and he understood that, and he gave it his all. And I mean, we all grew up watching these things, but for me, coming from Virginia, you know, Kenny Easley was the epitome of what a defensive back should behave during the course of a game.
Oh, no doubt about it. And Kenny Easley had an incredible college career at UCLA and a great NFL career with the Seattle Seahawks. And in fact, we send out blessings to Kenny right now as he continues to battle some kidney disease, but a tremendous football talent and a great person as well. And Ray, so for you, who made the difference?
You know, it's interesting. Growing up in Ohio, you know, I had a chance to, to watch some good football. You know, a lot of times we got a chance to see the AFC, you know, and in the AFC growing up as a kid, I got to be honest, even though I was a Browns fan, I got a chance to see a lot of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I also got a chance to see a lot of the Raiders. So Jack Tatum, there is no doubt, you know, influenced my life, and Donnie Shell did as well. And I, like Sean, who got a chance to see films, you know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is on my high school campus, Dave, so they would actually take us as high school players, in particular before we would play our arch rivals, the Mouselin Tigers. We'd go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and we would see the greatest hits. And so, that's why, you know, I feel, and it's only because this conversation that you're having with me that I'm really thinking through the entire process.
Mm-hmm.
And there are little kids now that are looking at pro football players today, looking at the Adrian Wilsons and the Troy Polamalu's and the Brian Dawkins. And there is a generation of monsters right now that are going to grow up and hit like those young men hit today. But hey, it was because of a generation before me that I tried to emulate them. And on some instances, I know, you know, we were successful. We did that. We brought pain up onto other players and sometimes even injuries, you know. And so, but that's we're a product of the environment of which we grew up in.
Absolutely.
And it was a very physical game. And I'd be interested to hear, you know, what Mike would have to say about, you know, who he looked at and tried to emulate and probably did imitate them very well when he was in the league, you know, just a few years ago, because Mike obviously is the younger of the group here.
Right. Well, and Mike, we definitely want to get your thoughts on that too, because I've expressed several times that there is nothing like hearing the air rush out of another man's body. So, just wondering what your thoughts are, man. You know, who are you emulating? You know, as you came into the league.
Oh, definitely. You know, I'm a Detroit guy, but I was always a 49ers fan.
Okay.
So everybody knows who I'm saying nothing about 49ers. We're talking about Ronnie Lott.
Right.
And I don't know if anybody has seen this type of highlight. I've never seen a highlight of Ronnie Lott covering an individual. Every single highlight I've seen of Ronnie Lott is him laying a hit on somebody and knocking a ball out and making the same kind of hits that you're seeing, you know, suspensions being drawn for. So you look at everybody in my generation, young safeties, young defensive backs, you know, patting themselves after Ronnie Lott. You have a big generation of young athletes, you know, looking to lay a big hit. It's a big tradition in the game, and that's how that is the athlete that I watched growing up. And he didn't cover, and I didn't watch covers from Ronnie Lott. I watched hits, and I think that when you take away the athlete's ability to perform as an athlete, you lose that, and I think you lose a piece of the game.
Yeah. Sean, I'm just thinking there has to be something to what we're talking about here in terms of mimicking a player's style of play. Thinking about the Chicago Bears, great safety. If we just think back to the strong safety position, back to Doug Plank, who was all pro, then
there's another Buckeye there, Dave.
I know. And then another Buckeye followed him, Todd Bell, all pro. Then I follow Todd Bell, all pro. Then Sean Gill follows me, all pro. There's something to this, SG, about mimicking how another guy plays and success.
Well, Dave, you know as well as I do, if you possess that ability, you're a commodity. Everybody wants you. All the defenses around the league, they look at that play. They watch film and they say, "Wow, that's what we fear, and that's what we want our guys to do."
Yeah.
And again, you know what? Nobody wants to see injuries. Nobody wants to try to really hurt anybody. In fact, there's nothing like you said, a huge hit stunning a guy. But then he gets up and he goes back to the huddle, and that's just the way, you know, the nature of the game has always fallen into play. So nobody wants to see injuries. But to change this game to accommodate, this reactionary, movement from the league, I think you're really onto something. Slow these receivers down. Give the defensive backs a chance to make plays without getting a running start going across the middle. I mean, if there's some way to do that, then, yeah, look at it. But don't start finding these guys for the way that they've been coached to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, that would be the same thing as telling these guys who are Indianapolis 500 race car drivers and driving these Formula One racing cars that you're going to put regulators on them and the top speed is now going to be 155 miles an hour.
Right, right.
Let's go drive these guys nuts. And in fact, you're probably going to end up having more accidents at 155 than you are having now at 230, simply because in slowing the game down, it's no different than what we see out on the highway now when the speed limit was simply 55. Guys were coming on off the exit ramp at 55. And so, you know, it just adds one more clog in the wheel as opposed to stretching things out. Everything gets bunched up, and one accident is a major accident.
Hey, Dave, if I could jump in there, you know.
Absolutely.
There's something else I'd like to say. I believe, in my opinion, you know, I think, you know, football is a game that's, you know, it's played between the two ears. And most of the time, we go in, everybody on this phone, you don't play in the NFL multiple years and become Pro Bowl ball players and starters in the NFL and not be an intelligent football player. And a lot of it has to do with, on game day, the fact that you've been so prepared that you actually rub the subconscious mind actually takes over. And one thing that I'm concerned about is going to happen is you can't now make me start thinking too much about, you know, not making a hit, that I concern myself with, such that one, I miss my assignment, or two, I don't do my job, and three, I can get hurt just trying to think about, oh, not making that tackle, because a fraction of a second, next thing you know, I mean, the running backs are now, they plant that foot down, they make a cut, and you thinking about something, and you turn right into, you know, a crackback block, you know, so.
That's right. And Mike, you played for some teams, just as I did, the Cardinals and the Giants, who teach an aggressive brand of ball. And I know what kind of football you were playing with the New England Patriots because that was my defensive coordinator in New York. So,
oh yeah.
You know, so you know, you've been a trained assassin, if you will, just as Jack Tatum's book said, they call me assassin. You've been a trained assassin probably from junior high, but certainly for the individuals and the teams that you played for and worked for in the National Football League, that was the way you were coached and trained to play.
Exactly. It's the expectation that you're expected to bring onto the field. And when you try to dampen that expectation and when you can no longer intimidate receivers into dropping balls and no longer, you know, enforce the rule of hearing footsteps and dropping passes, then your defense loses edge. And a lot of these defenses, the Patriots, the Giants, that's what they're based on, intimidating teams into not going across the middle. And when you lose that, you will have your Ocho Cincos coming across the middle, dashing for touchdowns because there's no fear of coming across the middle of a defense.
Right, and that, as far as I'm concerned, is happening already. That's why T.O. and Ocho have their own reality show and all this other stuff. They're always talking noise in the media and on Twitter and all this other kind of crap, man, because, you know, the safeties cannot hit them when they're in the air anymore. You know, because otherwise, you know, we'd eliminate 95% of those catches.
Exactly.
And, you know, and we send them to the sidelines for 60 minutes. You know, we're not trying to injure a guy where he can't play anymore, but I certainly want to ding him so bad that he doesn't want to play today.
Or come
and,
back.
You know, and I know that everybody that's on this phone feels the same way. Sean, I'm thinking, too, in terms of special teams, because you were a special teams ace for many years with the Bears as a gunner on punt team, you know, likewise going down on kickoff, but you know, even you know, on punt return, you know, there's that element when the punt returner, let's say Reggie Bush, is running with the rock and you're coming down as the gunner, you know, you're full speed, you jacking. Now they're talking about suspending you. Same thing if you're on the return side, and you're setting up the wall. And the gunner's coming down, and you blindside him and give him what we call a decleater. Are they going to suspend you down too?
Yeah, there's no way that they can address that. I mean, it's almost like trying to take the complete speed out of the game, and you can't. If you talk about special teams, yeah, you know, most teams they use their safeties and their cornerbacks. These are the most mobile defensive players that they have, and they want these guys to run at full speed and make something happen. And it's, again, it's not to hurt anybody, but this is just how the game is being played, and it's always been played that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you really can't regulate it. So, yeah, you know what? Special teams, kickoffs and punt team and things like that, it emulates what happens on a pass play when a receiver's coming across the middle or in a post pattern and the safety's told, listen, if you can't get your hands on the ball, you make sure that the receiver doesn't. And you don't have time always to knock the ball down, but you have to make contact. And sometimes, okay, I get it. Head-to-head, you don't want that. But you have to separate that receiver from the ball. And by doing so, that's how you play the best defense possible. And you can't get away from that, no matter how they try to regulate this, no matter what they look at and what they talk about right now.
Absolutely.
Hey, Sean, this is Ray, and you know, I want to take this time out. I should know the answer to this, but I don't. But I believe, if I'm not incorrect, that you suffered a very, very tragic accident yourself on the football field. Am I correct? Did it happen on the field? Your neck injury?
Oh, absolutely. It was.
Okay, well, could you please tell everybody in the world out there what happened to you and how bad the neck injury was? Because to hear your passion, I'm sure the average person out there would say, and he still played football? So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, if you could.
Right. You know, it was in 1988. We're playing the Detroit Lions in Detroit, and there was a square in. And for those listening, that's when the receiver comes down between 10 and 15 yards, and he runs to the inside of the formation. And as a safety, I had to make the decision to charge full speed and separate him from the ball. Unfortunately, there were other defenders in the area, and instead of me just hitting one guy, I hit the receiver who had Mike Singletary on his back and a cornerback coming at the same time, and it was a huge collision. I fractured two bones, well, bone in two places in my neck. It was very scary. Spent the night in the hospital.
there were questions about me ever playing again. And right. I can tell you this, that next year, once I got healthy, the biggest challenge I had was being able to play the game at the same level. Would I be able to run in there and make contact knowing that my head's going to take part of the blow and my shoulder will? And I will tell you this, and a lot of people don't know this, but the team, the Bears, of course, at the time, they had questions whether I could still do it, which meant mm-hmm. I became expendable if I couldn't. And that's just the nature of the game. I was able to overcome that. And again, all the guys talking today and this round table, so to speak, we've had a chance to talk to high school players, younger players, and we tell them all the same thing. See what you hit. Keep your head up. That's the only way that you can possibly protect yourself.
Yes. And not only did you overcome it, though, SG, 3 years after the injury, you were voted to the Pro Bowl, which meant that you played at a supreme level after the injury. And that by itself will preach, man, no doubt about it. Listen, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes before we got to go to a hard close, and so I want to start with you, Mike, and ask you, what are you doing now in regards now that your NFL career is over, and how can we help you? How can my listening audience get involved with the things that Mike Stone is doing? I think we may have lost him. Well, Sean, then we're going to come directly to you because I know that you're about to get on a plane. You're flying to England tonight to London. So, give us a hint of all the things that you're doing and how, too, my listening audience can help you.
Well, I'm involved in the commentary. I'm talking about what I know and what you guys know. I'm talking about the NFL games, and I work for Rupert Murdoch and his network over in the UK, Sky, mm-hmm. and I'm one of the rotating analysts. In fact, I'm flying out tonight to do the games this weekend, and then I will be doing the studio show for the game that's being played at Wembley Stadium with the 49ers versus the Broncos. And excellent. I can say this, that they would have not invited me. I would have not been part of this team of analysts had I not been physical when I played. And that just goes to show. It's the dichotomy, all right? We want to keep players safe. They're trying to address this, how physical the game has gotten. But you know what? This is what we do, and this is how we've made a name for ourselves. And for those who've done it well, like everyone here in this discussion, you know, there's a benefit to it because this is football as we've always known it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And FG, I'm just excited to have had you on the show with me today, man. That's my younger brother right there, Ray. Now, I understand that y'all got the Buckeye hooked up, and I understand that, and, you know, that whole thing about, you know, y'all – you know, y'all talk Woody Hayes and all that stuff, but that's my younger brother right there, SG. And you know, my number was 22, his was 23.
And, oh, man, I got to say this real quick, guys. For the listening audience, these guys were my role models. Understand there's nothing like coming up through the ranks and having someone play your position, show you how to play it so well on the field that it helps your game, but beyond that, the way they conducted themselves off the field, the examples that they set, and ones that have helped me throughout my entire career.
Well, we appreciate it, SG. Thank you very much. And, Ray,
much respect.
You got the last word. Ray, you get the last word.
Oh, man, I get the last word. Listen, all I can say is that I just appreciate the opportunity to be in a position today where I'm blessed to work with, you know, so many fraternity brothers that I had on the football field, and we just continue to share our perspective, our dreams, our goals, our life with those people who supported us from the time we were children, you know. And it's always special each time we get a chance to do this, you know, to rekindle some relationships. Haven't talked to Sean in such a long time, to meet new friends like Mike and Dave, of course, man. I get a chance to spend time with you, and it's just a true blessing. And we're going to do this for a long time. And I'm doing what I love to do, talking with friends about a game that we love to play and we continue to admire. And hopefully, we're adding something special to the game even today.
Absolutely, there's no doubt about it. Ray, thank you for being with me today. Ray Ellis, our director of sports, also a great Philadelphia Eagle and Cleveland Browns safety. Sean Gale, a 12-year veteran, a longtime Chicago Bear and San Diego Charger, and all-pro safety. And Mike Stone joining us likewise with the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Patriots. And I'm Dave Duerson, your host of Double Time with Double D. And we want to thank you, the fans, for listening. Thank you for participating by Facebook. And to all of those who sent in comments, I really do appreciate you. Keep them coming because, as you see, we will talk about it and we will mention you on air. But more importantly, I just appreciate the fact that you're supporting what we're doing here, and we gave you the uncut funk today about the NFL and its greatest hits. And I was so excited to have these guys joining me. So, again, we'll talk to you again next week, same time, same channel. Until then, be blessed. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining Dave Duerson for Double Time with Double D. We'll be back again next Thursday at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, for another look inside the game, words of inspiration, and more on the Voice America Sports Channel. Game's on again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.